Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is dethroning the senses. There's a battle taking place in all of us. It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh are our natural carnal desires that we were born with. Have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach children how to be impatient, how to be selfish, how to get upset? You don't have to send them for a tutorial. That's what they're born with. We're born with pride, impatience, anger, and selfishness. The reason is that the flesh wants to be in control. It's not going to be happy unless it gets its way. The easy way to live our lives is to be like immature little kids. Just give in. That's okay when you're 2 years old. People understand we're growing, we're learning, no big deal. But the problem is that when we're 42, we're still throwing fits about the same things. We're still being ruled by our feelings. We think, I feel like being rude, so I'm going to go and tell those people off. I feel like being lazy, so I'm going to sleep in and skip work today. I feel like being impatient. I feel like compromising. Here's our message. As long as you're allowing your feelings to be the boss, you will limit how high you can go. Our Krishna conscious culture, another name for it, is a Brahminical culture. And Brahmins are those class of men who vow to adhere to high moral character. They're called twice born, Dvija Bandhu. Brahmins are those who have died to the ordinary dictates of the senses. They've declared war on the senses, that they're not going to be dictated to by them. They're not going to be dragged around by them anymore. And there are four basic principles which all Brahmins follow. No illicit sex, in the interest of self-control and discipline. That means if you're married, you're faithful. If you're single, you're celibate. No meat eating, no participating in the unwanted bloodletting. No intoxication, including coffee, tea, and cigarettes. And no gambling. Brahmins are those who follow Brahman, spirit. They've switched their allegiance from dark, dead, temporal matter to the higher disciplined life of the spirit. Tamasho mad jyotir gamaya. Tamasho is the Sanskrit word for darkness. Jyotir is the Sanskrit word for light. Gamaya means to go. The Brahmins are those who are going not from light to darkness, like most of us, but reversing the trend and going up from darkness to light. If you live on the shallow level of always trying to please your flesh, you'll never discover what's inside. You'll never discover your talents, your gifts, your abilities. They'll remain hidden. You have to go beyond the surface. Get past the temporary pain of not letting the senses have their unbridled way. Make a decision to follow the spirit. When you do this, Krishna or God will release more of His favor in your life. Too many people live superficially for the body only, letting their senses and their emotions run their lives. The problem with this is that senses will lead you down the wrong path. They'll tell you you're tired. You don't need to go to work today. You can be grouchy and rude to other people. They'll tell you, oh, they stabbed you in the back. Now you go around and talk behind their backs as well. And a loud voice, your senses say, I want another piece of pie, I'm hungry. At the same time, somewhere deep down within you, there'll be a still small voice that says, you don't need another piece of pie, you already had five already. And that's the voice of the spirit. The body likes to be always comfortable, but in our comfort zone, we'll never grow. The more you learn to discipline the senses, the more that you'll grow in that particular area. And the less that you discipline the senses, the more that you'll remain a spiritual child. Instead of saying, oh man, this is going to be so uncomfortable, why not turn that around and say, if I exercise just a little bit of discipline now, then I will reap the fruits of peace and prosperity and favor later on. We have this metaphor that goes constantly throughout the Vedic literature of the chariot, the driver, the reins, the passenger, and the five horses. And of course, the five horses are the five senses: seeing, touching, tasting, smelling. The horses are extremely powerful. If you bridle that power and rein it and direct it, those horses can take you wherever you want to go. But it requires some effort. You have to restrain them. You have to pull back on the reins left and right. A lot of us take the path of least resistance, and we let the reins go slack. We say, well, we'll just see what happens. I'll tell you what happens. You go over a cliff. You go to ruin and disaster. Have you ever heard anyone say, in effect, I'm going to give into my senses, drink this, smoke this, pop this, and I'll go wherever God takes me? Here's a newsflash. That's not where God is taking you. That's where the senses are taking you. You'll know that God is taking you somewhere when you learn how to say no to the unbridled demands of the senses, when you allow him to be the boss and not your senses. That curvaceous co-worker who winks at you, the immature person thinks of this as an opportunity to flirt, joke around, be loose, hang around the water fountain with her, get some immediate gratification. When we first bought the radio station KHQN many years ago, we didn't immediately start it with our transcendental program. We ran it a year or so as a commercial entity. We had a Mormon fellow from Provo as the manager. Well, he went to the National Association of Broadcasting Convention in Las Vegas. After he'd come back, I noticed in his drawer there was a whole bunch of matchbooks from a strip club down there. So I said, Steve, what's this all about? And he said, well, just because I'm married doesn't mean I can't go to the end of my chain and bark. But the spiritually mature person steps back and keeps his marriage intact. When we're driving down the freeway, there's something called guardrails. Now, you can go past the guardrails and not meet with disaster. You can say, well, I'm not in the ditch, but you're not on the road either. It's a very, very risky business, that margin between the guardrails and the ditch. Better not to go there. Better not to tempt fate. The immature person thinks, I want cola, Twinkies, junk food. At the time, it may taste good, but later on, you won't be healthy or happy. Giving someone a piece of your mind may feel good at the time, but later on, you may not have a job. Having the last say to your wife may feel good at the time, but later on, you might be sleeping on the couch. That's why we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari, to learn how to control the tongue, be a peacemaker instead of insisting on having the last word. Even though it's difficult, it's much better to say, senses, you are not going to be the boss. When you do that later on, not only will you still have a job, a marriage, have good health, but your character is coming up higher. When your character comes up, Krishna knows he can trust you. Did you know that blessings always bring burdens? A promotion at work, having a child, starting a new business, writing that book, coming into inheritance. These are all examples of blessings, but they also carry greater responsibilities. If you're disciplined, Krishna knows that you have the character to handle greater blessings, greater responsibilities. If you're disciplined in your life, get excited. Get ready for a great future because opportunities are going to open up in your life. When you see people that are enjoying good relationships, prosperity, wealth, opulence, success, they didn't get there because they were lucky. They got there because they were disciplined. They did the right thing when it was hard. The people who reach their highest potentials are the ones who are good at saying no to their senses. Those friends who want you to party all the time, your senses will tell you, go on, you'll have a good time. But later on, there'll be addictions. There'll be trouble achieving intimacy in relationships. You may have financial difficulties. If you want to see the great harvest that Krishna wants to have in your life, you need to choose the path of discipline. Your feelings will tell you what they want, but that doesn't mean that's what's best for you. Feelings will tell you they hurt you, hold a grudge, go around bitter and resentful, but the spirit will say, let it go. Krishna will vindicate you. Krishna will fight your battles. The unbridled senses on the one hand and the spirit on the other hand are essentially at odds. And you get to choose who's the boss. Only you can make the decision not to live on this surface level, not letting your senses control your life. Not taking the easy way out, but digging in your heels. And instead of letting my senses rule me, I'm going to determine to start ruling over my senses. After all, whatever investiture that you put into this body, it will result in decay, ruin, and destruction. Junkyards are full of things that people just had to have, that they couldn't live without. This body in which we invest so much time and energy, and the extensions of this body, like family and friends, they have three destinations. If you're a Christian, the body will be buried, transformed into earth. If you're Hindu, it will be cremated, transformed into ashes. Some groups believe in just leaving the body out so that the scavengers can have a good meal, in which case the body will become stool. That will be what you get for all the investiture of time and energy in this body: ashes, earth, or stool. What you'll get for investiture in the spirit is eternal life in the kingdom of God next time around, and abundance here and now. Shouldn't be that tough of a choice. The senses, they want to dictate to you. It means they want to tell you what to do, they want to tell you how to do it, and they want to tell you when to do it. Like a dictator, the senses want to make all the decisions, take away your free agency, take away your free will, make you a soldier, give you your marching orders, and all they want to hear from you is, yes, sir, eat this, yes, sir, smoke this, yes, sir, blow your stack, yes, sir. In the morning when you get up, your feelings may tell you it's not going to be a very good day. Yes, sir. And you go around the day all depressed, moping, down, just going through the motions, no passion. In traffic, your senses dictate to you, be upset, swear underneath your breath. Yes, sir. Someone says, well, Chiru, I can't help what I feel. We're not asking you to be unfeeling. Krishna has feelings. Krishna is a person who made us in his image. He has feelings, and so do we. Emotions are part of who we are, but we're not meant to be ruled by them. Use your anger, don't be used by it. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, if you're familiar, Arjuna was not willing to jump into the fight. He was a warrior, he was trained, he'd fought many battles before. War was his medium. He had no problem. But we don't find him with bloodlust at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. His opponents had tried to burn he and his brother down in a house of black. They had poisoned their brother Bhima. They had insulted their wife Draupadi in the public assembly. They had stolen their kingdom in an unfair game of dice and exiled them for 13 years into the forest. And yet Arjuna's mood was not of revenge. I'm going to pay them back, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He was willing to forgive and forget. However, when Krishna informed Arjuna in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita that the war was inevitable, that what was going to take place on the field of Kurukshetra was like a surgical operation where the tumorous growth of society would be removed, and Krishna asked Arjuna to surgically apply violence for the good of the whole society, then when he needed it, although his mood was peaceful, forgiving, and loving, when he needed it in the service of Krishna, he knew how to invoke anger and how to get the job done. And we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm feeling going to move me towards my destiny, or is it just an impulse for short-term gratification, which is going to keep me from rising higher? Who's the boss, you or your senses? Are you going to let them stay on the throne, be the dictator, order you around? Senses say, get upset, so I go ahead and get upset. Senses say, don't clean the house, so don't clean the house today, or this week, or this month, or this year. Living by the senses is an animalistic way to live. I'm asking you today to dethrone the senses. Have a revolution in authority. In foreign countries, we always read about these tyrannical dictators that keep people under their thumb. There's no way to remove them by votes because there's no democracy in those countries. The people from a grassroots level rise up and overthrow them, force them out of office. In the same way, your senses, they want to stay in control. They want to keep on to the reins of power, but you have to dethrone them. You have to replace the tyrannical senses with benevolent spirit. I have to warn you, senses are not going to go down easily any more than a dictator in a small Latin American country is going to go down easily. But when you don't give the senses what they want, when you start revolting against them, even though they get upset, even they throw a tantrum, even they get a fit, if you're determined enough, if you're willing to draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough, I've been serving you since time immemorial, and you've given me nothing but enslavement, nothing but addiction. Your service is neither pensionable nor terminal. You are no longer going to rule my life. I'm taking you off the throne. From now on, I'm going to take my marching orders from the Spirit. Every day, from that point on, you have to say no to the flesh. You have to take your feelings off the throne. It's not a one-time thing and then we're done. It's an ongoing process. And no matter how spiritually evolved or how spiritually mature you are, there'll never be a day when you'll not be tested in some way, shape, or form by the lower self. We simply have to develop the habit of saying no. Someone said, everything is permissible, but not everything is profitable. We can get away with a lot of things. We can go through life with a bad attitude, a hot temper, compromising, impatient. It's permissible, but it's not profitable. Living on this shallow level will get you by, but you'll not experience everything that you were created for. Larry Bassam, Olympic gold medalist in small bore rifle competition, says this about what concentration does for his marksmanship. Quote, our sport is controlled by non-movement. Now listen to all the things that he has to do in order not to move. Because if he moves, if he has a tremor in his hand, if his pulse beats more than 60 beats a minute, if he has a surge of appetite, the slightest little movement will cause him to miss the bullseye, which is the shape of a dime, and it's 100 yards away. Look at what he does or what he doesn't do in order to focus and hit the bullseye. He says, we're shooting from 50 meters over half a football field at a bullseye 3/4 the size of a dime. If the angle of error at the point of the barrel is more than 0.05% of a millimeter, that's 5/1000, you drop into the next circle and lose a point. We have to learn how to make everything stop. I stop my breathing. I stop my digestion by not eating for 12 hours before the competition. I train by running to keep my pulse around 60 so that I have a full second between beats. I practice all this stoppage and self-discipline in certain areas so that I can clearly focus and hit the bullseye. Similarly in life, if we want to get to where we are meant to go, you have to learn to starve the anger, starve the self-pity, starve the bad attitude. If you'll keep sowing to the flesh, you'll put yourself in a repetitive cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. Every time we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're sowing to the Spirit. The spiritual self within blossoms and comes to fruition. After some time, even when the bodily impulses come, they will no longer control you. Associating with the Lord by chanting His holy name is like transferring out of a rowboat into the Queen Mary. In a rowboat, you feel all the turbulence of the waters, every single tremor. And in the Queen Mary, you still feel it, but it's just a little wisp. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. A sign of spiritual maturity is not that you don't still feel the pushings and pullings of the senses, but that you have control over them, that you don't act on them. You don't put them back on the throne. You are the boss of your life. Well, true, I've always been angry. I've always been impatient. Well, if you keep giving in, getting upset, then all you're doing is making it stronger. You're just giving it more power. Every time you get angry, I don't know if you know this, but the body releases chemicals. The more that you get angry, the more you develop a chemical dependency. You go around with a chip on your shoulder looking for a fight, craving the anger, like a person addicted to a drug. The more you take it, the stronger the craving becomes. Whatever area that you're letting your senses rule, they're going to grow. You get upset in traffic, you're feeding your impatience. Here, impatience, here's a good dinner, and here I'm throwing in some vitamins too. So all this leads to a repetition and an escalation. Ultimately, it leads to rebirth in this material world. Next time you're tempted to get upset, don't respond. Don't feed it. Think of all the things that you have to be grateful for. Feed your spiritual self instead of your material self. As your spiritual senses grow stronger, your material senses will get weaker. Someone said the person with no sense control is compared to a city whose defensive walls are torn down. What happens when your defensive walls are torn down? The enemy can come in, destroy, pillage, plunder. When your senses are out of control, your marriage, your job, your health, your finances, all of that is set up for ruination. And of all the senses, the most important is the tongue. Whichever way the tongue goes, the others will follow. If the tongue takes you higher, the others will go higher. If the tongue drags down, the others will follow. The tongue has two business, to speak and to eat. That's why in the Krishna conscious movement, to gain control over the tongue, as far as speaking, we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, and speak about Krishna throughout the day. As far as the eating is concerned, we only eat vegetarian food which has been offered to Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, control your tongue, not by fasting or not eating, but eat only food, fruits, flowers, leaves, vegetables, and milk products. He doesn't mention anything about meat, fish, or poultry. He says, eat these things after they've been offered to me. By singing and talking about Krishna, we satisfy the desire to talk. And by eating only purified Krishna prasadam, the tongue comes under the control as far as eating is concerned as well. As I was putting this message together, Saturday morning came around. I was in Provo. Sometimes I'll go get some exercise at the field house there, do some walking and some push-ups. And so I stopped at Great Harvest to get a loaf of bread on the way back. And there, at the Great Harvest, was the example that I've been looking for. It's game day. There was a family, a man about 55 years old, his wife, and their daughter who went to BYU. And they were all decked out, all excited about the game. They had their blues on, their stretch blue pants, and their stretch blue top with the BYU logo there. And they were all really excited. The man was bulging, even though he was in stretch clothes, he was stretching them to their limits in all 10 directions of the compass. His thighs, his calves, his shoulders, what to speak of his belly and butt. He was just in the process of expanding everywhere. He's probably 5'6", weighed 275 pounds. Now, most of you have probably been to Great Harvest, and you know that with a purchase, you get a free slice of bread. You can also choose whether you want it unbuttered, or lightly buttered, or heavily buttered. The choices that morning were whole wheat bread and pumpkin chocolate chip bread loaded with sugar. The man with a giggle, he says, I'll take the pumpkin chocolate chip with plenty of butter. So I read into that giggle three things. One is, there's a pattern of behavior here. This is a fellow who never stops at two scoops of ice cream. Never stops at one piece of pie. Never in his life has drunk anything less than a big gulp soda. A pattern of behavior. Embarrassment was in that giggle. That though he was a distinguished BYU grad, had a very good car outside, probably made a lot of money, yet the embarrassment was there because, although mature in a number of physical ways, he had no more sense control at the age of 55, probably, than he'd had at the age of 5. Like an adolescent who didn't know any better. And last, mixture of apology and regret. In the giggle that he directed at his wife and daughter while ordering pumpkin chocolate chip with plenty of butter, I think he was aware that in the very near future he was a prime candidate for a stroke or a heart attack. And if that happened, he wouldn't be with them that much longer. He wouldn't live out the full term of his life because he was unable to say no. That down the road, the mother and the daughter might very well be in Provo, maybe not for a football game because they're girls, but for some other BYU event, but by then he would be gone. I didn't get the sense from his giggle that he was highly evolved enough to worry about where he'd be going after death, but on some level, I think he sensed that he was going to miss the best that God had in mind for him. Self-control is like a muscle. If you never use it, it will atrophy and become weak. You have to start exercising it. You have to start saying no to your material desires. Why? Because you have a life to live and you want to live it fully, not have it cut short. You have to learn to say no. Life is too short and our assignment is too important to do anything less. Krishna has amazing things in our future. As long as the heir, H-E-I-R, is a child, they will never receive their due inheritance. If you're throwing a fit at 2 years old, that's okay. But if you're 20 years old, you're 40 years old, you're 60 years old, and you're still giving in to the ordinary impulses, Krishna is saying to you tonight, it's time to grow up. If you'll take your personal sense gratification off the throne, Krishna will release some of the amazing things that he has in mind for you in the future. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with how many times you've been to church, with how many verses of scripture you've memorized, but it has everything to do with what kind of fruit you are displaying in your life. Are you saying no to these emotional impulses? I learned something interesting last week. One of the main things that mountain climbers have to be alert for, what do you think? Poisonous snakes. They could be behind a rock. When you reach, they could be there. They could blend in with the terrain. You could step on them. Way up on a mountain, a snake bite could easily be fatal. It would be hours, maybe days, before search and rescue can get you down. But there's something called a snake line. It's an altitude where the air is so thin that the snakes cannot live. After you get past that altitudinal level, you no longer have to worry about the snakes. In the same way, if you'll keep ruling over your senses, not letting them have control, as you continue growing, maturing, coming up higher and higher and higher, you will get to the place where the snakes, the senses, cannot bother you anymore. You will still feel the pushing and pulling of the senses. They'll still be there, but they will no longer exercise dictatorship, tyranny over you. Those feelings will have been dethroned. You've exercised discipline for so long. Sowed those seeds of spirit, developed new patterns of behavior. It's like you crossed the snake line. The enemy can no longer go where you're going. We may not all be there yet, but we're moving ahead. The flesh is getting weaker, the spirit is getting stronger. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Who's the boss? You're the boss. Now, do your part and keep saying no to the flesh. Keep dying a little bit more each day to personal sense gratification. As you continue to grow, Krishna is going to release the inheritance, the amazing things that he has in store for you in this life and in the next life. You go back home, back to Godhead.